There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad you're here. Live local talk over the hour, and phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Remember, the podcaster, if you want to do it a la carte, the podcast are waiting for you over at the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast. You can get it by day and by show, or better yet, just go ahead and subscribe to iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or TuneIn Radio. A lot of different platforms to have those podcasts delivered to you. So whether you're trying to rehear an interview or you want to catch up on something you missed or go back and binge listen to the Moon Pie Minute, the story of Mardi Gras, as told by Rennie Bradner, they're all waiting for you, either a la carte on the website or by subscribing to follow FM Talk 106.5. All right, this is a lot of fun for me. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for y'all as well, because we're going to talk about this upcoming Mobile Literary Festival, but we have two authors in studio, so it'll be a little bit of talk about the Literary Festival, and then I'm going to pick y'all's brains talking about being authors. Jody Kane Smith and Bill Riles, both in with me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks
for having us.
So, Mobile Literary Festival, let's talk about the, give me the who, what, when, where, how, and then I'm going to ask you 10 other questions.
Okay. On March 16th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., we'll be at the Ben May Main Library downtown, and it celebrates Mobile's literary community, and it also encourages all Mobile writers to develop their craft more, whether you are like myself, who's pretty seasoned, or honestly, you're, you know, a sophomore at Murphy High School saying, I think this is what I want to pursue. I have a story to tell. And so we designed the workshops so that they can reach a wide public, in that anyone who goes, from the most seasoned writer to the, you know, brand newbies, all shiny and new,
right,
all of them can get a nugget or two from them. So March 16th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Ben May Main Library. It is completely free, and it's not just free for participants, but it is also free for us to have our faculty come in. Our faculty actually volunteers their time every year, and these are major authors. Carolyn Haynes is one that has participated with us for this year and last year. She has, I think, over something crazy like 30 mystery novels out there. Dr. Linda Busby Parker, who is with the Creative Writing faculty out at South. She is read on college campuses all over the country for her first novel, Seven Laurels. And then we also have Adam Prince coming in from the Creative Writing Department to teach a workshop. We have Bill coming in to speak on one of our panels, which the last panel of the day is what Bill is speaking on, and that is The Hustle, Paying Your Bills Through Words.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be Bill, Rob Holbert from the Lanyap, myself, and Maria Moreno Johnson, who writes in the academic Christian section of the literary world. And we're all going to talk about what it's like to hustle our way through all of these words and hope that somebody pays us in time to pay the bills.
Well, I like that angle of it, because, I mean, you could probably workshop on how do I create a better character here or give it more dimensions. But then if you're going to do this for a living, you got to sell books.
Right.
I mean, that's part of it. Bill, you're a master of hustling it. You're at an event all the time. You got books. You come by here, talk with me about your books. You got them for sale. People can pick them up.
Yeah, I mean, you want to sell them. You want people to read them, but certainly you want people to buy them as well, and that's just kind of part of it. It's not easy. We talked before we came on the air. We talked about, you know, the difference in being with a traditional publisher and being self-published, which is a big thing now.
And I guess we should explain that too, because people who don't do this and don't talk about it, self-publishing versus, what does that mean? How do you self-publish?
The traditional method of publishing a book, as it used to be, was that you either found an agent or a publisher liked your stuff, and they, you know, make you a deal, and they publish your book, and they distribute it for you. And self-publishing, because of digital age, has become a big thing, because now you can just publish your own book and you cut out the middleman, and a lot of people are doing that these days. Mm-hmm. Even some established authors, and some who have gotten away from their publishers, and some have gone hybrid, which means they publish some on by themselves and then they publish some with a publisher.
Well, and Jody, we were talking before we went on, though, but for you, it's better to have a publisher.
Yes, I write literary fiction, which means basically I don't produce books at a fast enough pace. Like if a fantasy author can produce quality work at a fast pace and get a series out self-published, then as Netflix watchers binge TV shows, readers nowadays binge books.
Sure.
And, you know, they'll go through three or four of these, like, fantasy novels in a week. My books aren't like that.
Right.
So I need a publisher to help me with distribution, help me win awards, put the books in for awards so I can get that kind of clout that then tells literary fiction readers to purchase my book and then wait 3-4 years for me to write another one. I mean, that's, you know, the novel I started a couple of months ago, I think my little time tracker app, I'm only 18,000 words into it, but those 18,000 words have taken me nearly 100 hours to write.
Wow.
Now, I'm a slow writer.
Right.
Okay? Some people are like, oh my goodness, Jody, your word count is way down there. But, you know, it gives the literary fiction writer something to cling to, or reader something to cling to, I guess.
Well, it may be cliche, though, but isn't it like there's this slow build where you're writing, it's taking a lot of time, but then it starts to pick up a pace and that word count comes up because now the story is telling itself? And
absolutely. I cannot wait to have like a few uninterrupted days that I can hammer this out, because the story finally clicked and it's just waiting. And it's so exciting to when a story clicks, and it is like this adrenaline rush that I just want to sit down and make my fingers fly faster across the keyboard. But those moments are fleeting in my life.
you said you were a seasoned writer. Seasoned equals how long you've been writing?
I started writing in 2003 out of a bit of craziness and anger, honestly. My husband was in the invasion into Iraq with Third ID, and I was alone in Savannah, Georgia, and could not believe that Jay was going to fight a war.
Right.
And so I'm driving back to work at this place I was working at called Puppet People, because I was a theater major in college, and so I needed
Puppet
something.
People.
Yes.
Puppet People.
So,
okay, so hold on. That's a whole other question.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I was making puppets for a living at $7 an hour, and I was like, what has my life turned into? And as I'm driving back home one day through downtown Savannah, a war protester stepped out in front of my car, and I didn't hit him. But it just...
So your husband's in theater?
Yes.
He's in
a canvas top Humvee barreling across Iraq. This was March of 2003, so right in the beginning of the invasion. And so I wasn't in my right mind, so I did not hit this war protester. Instead, I drove directly to the Savannah Morning News, stormed in the office. The first man I saw, which was the only person in the lobby, I said, "You are not telling our story." And he went, "Excuse me?"
Okay.
And I said, "You're covering the war protesters, but you're not covering my story." And he goes, "Well, what's your story?" And I said, "Well, I am a family member of a soldier, and and I'm terrified, and you're not telling my story, and someone has to tell my story. And he said, well, why don't you do it? And I said, well, fine, I will. And I went home, and he said, bring me 3 writing samples of columns. And so I went home, and on my, like, you know, brand new Google machine, because the internet was so young at that point, I researched on how to write a column, because I had no idea, and brought him 3 writing samples the next day. And then that's when I found out that he was the sports editor, and I got my first column.
Wow.
So...
so that's 2003.
Yes.
2003. By the way, I'm making notes over here to myself.
That's a really long story.
Well, for character development, I am going to develop a character that builds puppets by trade.
Yes.
It's a fascinating character.
And then does really crazy things when she's angry.
Oh, yeah. I just lifted you. You've been writing how long, Bill?
Oh, at least 15, 16, have you been, 19 years.
19 were you
years.
Already
20 years.
Were you already doing TV when you started writing?
Yes. Did
you, so it came after your TV work?
Yes. Yes.
You picked it up and said, hey, because I love, like, some of your stories set in newsrooms, and nobody who, if somebody had not worked in a newsroom, they couldn't do that setting. Just like Jody talks about the experience.
It's true, but it's like anything else. You know, you write what you know. And so you kind of mold that. I was excited to find out one of the, I think it's with Linda Busby Parker, is turning characters into real life.
Yes.
Or taking real life and turning them into characters in your book,
right.
Which I was really interested in being at her presentation at the festival. So I'm going to help out with that and with another one as well. But looking forward to those.
Yeah, when we come back, I want to talk more about these different workshops and events. Also, more specifics here, like if somebody does have a question about, hey, I want to write nonfiction. I want to write fiction. I want to people that can help them. We'll talk more about the Mobile Literary Festival coming up March 16th at the Ben May Public Library. And we'll be right back. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. It's Thursday. A Stripers tonight at 6:30. If the rain holds off, is such a tough statement, because I have seen if the rain holds off for the parade to start, then it's on. It's on. So I have watched too many parades. I've watched the Incas, which, by the way, Order of Inca, y'all lucked out again this year. Had another good year, but I've watched that crew ride in sleet. I've been standing there with sleet. So, yeah, sleet. Sleet, it doesn't face the Incas. It shouldn't face the Stripers tonight. It's no sleet, just rain. We'll give you more on that as we get closer to parade kickoff time. You can always keep up with us on the website, fmtalk1065.com. A lot of fun. Talking about the Mobile Literary Festival coming up. Having my buddy Bill Riles from News 5 in, and a brand new friend, Jody Smith, and talking about writing. And I want to, before I get back into my questions about writers, let's once again remind people, who are you inviting to this literary festival? Who is this for? Is it just for writers?
It is for writers and readers.
Okay.
The readers will find a special pop-up store sponsored by the Haunted Bookshop from downtown Mobile. And that bookshop, the pop-up shop, will actually feature books, hard-to-find books from local authors all along the Gulf Coast, from Mobile, Daphne, Mississippi. And these are books that, like I said, are typically a little more difficult to find, but some absolutely fantastic writing in these. And then we also have panel discussions on one for that I think would be of interest for readers is Carolyn Haynes and her Mad Catters are doing a panel discussion on sharing characters. It's, I think, about 6 writers, mystery writers, and they all share this cat character that appears in all of their books. And so they have to write in cohesion with each other so they're not doing things to the cat that they can't undo.
Wait a second. Wait. So this cat character, these are different authors and appears in that same cat, same name or whatever cat appears in different books?
Yes.
But this is kind of the same way when on the characters from The Facts of Life would show up on Different Strokes or something like that. Remember that? And you'd be like, oh, wow, they've broken the wall here and they're
it's
in their
the
world.
It's the crossover character.
Well, I didn't know if it was. Okay, so the shared character.
Yes.
Something I had thought. Okay, now for authors. And like you said, from that that budding, that newbie author to the seasoned author, there's going to be workshops here on things, like Bill said, getting out and hustling and selling some books, but also the craft.
Yes, we've got two workshop tracks this year. One will focus on craft, in that Linda Busby Parker will be taking life experience and showing how to shape that into and inspire fiction. Adam Prince is going to teach us about narrative structure and keeping tension in your pages. And then Joyce Scarborough is going to be teaching self-editing and how to edit with an editor.
That's the one I need.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned that off air, the talk about a good editor.
Oh, yeah. I would tell, if you're self-published, I would say get an editor. Find an editor. Get another couple of sets of eyes on your book, you know, before you send it to press and put it out there for the masses.
And it's a little more in-depth than people will hear editor and say, well, listen, I'm kind of handy with the grammar or spelling, or I have a program that can do that, but that's not.
Look, I had to learn that lesson the hard way, and I don't want to talk about it, but.
don't want some smart aleck radio show host critiquing everything that goes up on a website.
I'm only kidding, but it's true. I mean, but it's little
it's content,
things. It's not
too,
so
isn't
much.
It
is content, but it's not so much the thing. It's the things that a reader's going to run up on that's just going to stop them dead in their tracks, you know, that they're not going to. It's like somebody's a real astute, and they're going to run up, but he rode into town. R-O-D-E.
Right.
Not R-O-A-D.
Right.
But you wrote it that, you know, and it slips up into the books. And those are the kind of little things, the little pitfalls that readers will go, you know. And so they might draw a different opinion of you because of
and
that.
And also
so.
Can give different meaning to, I mean, if they said the hunter, you know, squared his sights on the D-E-A-R.
Exactly. Like, right.
Why is he shooting somebody who's you know it. Dear to him?
The other great thing that editors will do for you is every writer goes through this cycle from elation of when you first write something and you think, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. This is the best thing that's ever been written in the history of the world. And then the next morning you'll wake up and this is the worst thing ever. It will never see the light of day. I hate it. I hate myself. I hate this life. And then the next day you wake up, well, maybe it's worth solving. It's worth fixing. Your editor is there to actually not only help you shape the work and make it the best work that it can be, but also to tell you, no, you shouldn't stop writing right now. You know, don't go on that other career path that you keep saying you're going to go on. Let's stick with this. And that's one of my, that's the reason why I loved my editor when she was helping me with my novel was, oh, thank goodness, because I need you, because I hate this story right now.
Yeah.
Right.
And that, you know, but that goes to a point, and that is that, you know, if you're a writer and you'd like to write, it should be fun. And you should enjoy it, because if it's work and drudgery that you don't enjoy, you probably really should find something else to do.
Right. There's other drudgery that probably pays better.
Exactly right.
There's definitely.
And reminded folks, too, Mobile Literary Festival, if they're riding down the road or whatever, have not jotted all this down, Facebook or online, where
would
they go?
Look on Facebook. There is the Mobile Literary Festival page, and it is the only, all you have to do is put Mobile Literary Festival in your search engine and the Facebook page will pop up.
And we'll grab it and share it on our Facebook page as well. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I just ask you this question point blank right here. Can you all hang on for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Because sometimes people just say, no, I can't. But I got the hard news break coming up and we got to get to that. And I want to come back because I want to talk about y'all's books. Okay, so people hearing you on the show.
And so do we.
Yes, I know. And that's the hustle, right? That's the hustle. And then we can talk about those notes you get up in the middle of the night and write a note to yourself about a story idea. For me, it was always screenplays I did. And I'd write this whole thing out at like 2:30 in the morning and be like, yeah, I'm so brilliant. This is fantastic. At 7 o'clock the next morning, I said, why is it a story about a piece of toast that gets some new socks? Why is that going to be an interesting story? And what did I do in the middle of the night? All right, y'all will be right back. Catch Dr. Bill's forecast. Once again, chance of rain for this evening during the Stripers, but also we got a chance of rain through pretty much Joe Kane Day when the cold front comes through. And by this time next week, it'll be completely different out there as we have the 30s returning to the Gulf Coast. More from Dr. Bill's forecast coming up. And reminder, too, you can check out more of what's going on this show, other shows on the podcast page. It's up and waiting for you at fmtalk1065.com. All right, be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Guest in studio. This is a lot of fun. We're talking about the Mobile Literary Festival with Jody and Bill, but also a whole side discussion here about authors. Not every day you got a couple authors in the studio. So I tell you what, too, you may want to drop a text here. Got a question. We got a brain trust right here to my left in studio, so they will help us answer these questions. But first of all, reminder, Mobile Literary Festival coming up next month, which is like tomorrow.
Yes.
Next month, the 16th.
March 16th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Ben May Main Library. And then afterwards, we're actually all heading over to CERTA's to network. So that's something else to look forward to as far as the festival goes, is trying out CERTA's.
I would say that a bunch of authors somewhere where there was beer served.
No.
Could be a fantastically, even the fly on the wall position, just sitting back, could be fantastically entertaining about that. Let's talk about this writing. And I know Bill's been in before. We're going to talk more about that. But Jody, talk to me about what you write. You said the genre is
literary fiction.
Literary fiction, which is a big one.
Yes. Basically, that means that literary fiction is more thematic mm-hmm. than some of the other genres, and that it can have elements of all the other genres, but what literary fiction always has is a strong character-driven narrative and a strong author's voice throughout the work. My first novel, which is on the market now, is called The Woods at Barlow Bend. It, as in Barlow Bend, Alabama.
I know the place. That's why it caught my eye when I saw it. Yeah, exactly.
And it is based on the true story of my grandmother's adolescence and starting in Frisco City, Alabama. In 1934, Addie Andress, my great-grandmother, was killed in a very strange hunting incident. The only witness was my great-grandfather, Hubbard Andress, and he was arrested and tried for her murder. And so this was when my grandmother was 14, and so the novel follows my grandmother from age 14 to age 17 and then jumps ahead in time more towards the end of her life, but it follows this coming-of-age story while watching her father stand trial for murder.
Now, you mentioned character development there, and obviously having a blood bond with the characters you're developing. You have a better insight, I would imagine, than anybody.
Yes, I wrote this story 20 years after my grandmother died. She told me the story 3 years before she died, and she had actually never shared her thoughts on her mother or her mother's death with anyone else, to include my own mother. And so a lot of when I was researching, and a lot of the things I found were shocking to some of the family members. For myself, it was a chance, in writing it, it was a chance to grieve my grandmother, not only the woman who I loved dearly and I was so close with, but to also grieve the girl that she once was. And through that, I understand her better now. I feel like I know her so much better, and I know why she made the choices that she made. So it was a delight writing it. As tough as it was to write it at times, it really was a delight.
And you had, think about taking us through your words to those places. I mean, obviously you had put foot on some of those places at Barlow Bend.
Oh, one of my favorite days was when I was living in South Carolina at the time, so I came home to Mobile.
And tell folks, you're from Mobile.
Yes, right, okay. I'm from Mobile, but my husband was military, mm-hmm. so we moved all around. We were in South Carolina when I was writing this, so I came back to Mobile one afternoon, picked up my mother, and we drove to Frisco City in search of Addie's grave. And we ended up having to, we traipsed all over every single cemetery in Monroe and Clark counties before we finally found Addie's grave, like 100 yards from the house, kind of thing. Because the house that they lived in is still there on Highway 17. It still looks exactly the same.
That kind of helps as you're painting the picture in our minds that we know that you're actually literally painting what it looks like.
Oh, yes. And so I was able to, you know, to take a look at so many of the spots that are actually mentioned in this book. The Grove Hill Public Library has been awesome to me. They have, you know, welcomed me with open arms. That's where the trial was actually held. Frisco City has been very kind, and you know, and I'm constantly meeting people who like found, hey, I found your book in my hunting camp in Barlow Bend. And I was like, that's awesome. Somebody bought it. so, but that's my first baby. My second baby is currently looking for a home. So hopefully I'll get to tell y'all about that one soon.
I can't wait to hear about it. So you're sitting on the backdrop of a place you've been. My buddy Bill does that so very well. There's no question when you read something Bill's written about a newsroom, you go, okay, that guy's worked in a newsroom.
Yeah, more than that, there's at least the last one. The first one, of course, is the ghost of Henry Cotton.
You're right.
It's set in my hometown of Tunica in the Mississippi Delta. The second one's set here in the Gulf Shore. It's called Kill Room.
Yep.
And it's set here in Mobile in the Gulf Coast. And so the next one, the third one, will be called Deadline, and I thought last night I just wrote the last page of it, but you know that's a lie.
Yeah,
right, that's a lie. So that didn't happen, but I'm getting close to the end of it, a few weeks, and it's called Deadline, and it's also a sequel to the what I call the Noah Sky novels. He's my main character and loosely based on moi, but not really. But the second will be more of a growing up period for Noah Sky, and coming to grips with a few things, and so it's a sequel. So I'm looking at a series of Noah Sky novels here. So that's what we're after.
How important. Readers love sequels.
Yeah, series. Like you're saying, they want. Yeah. Really, we just need you to produce one every 3 weeks.
Well, I don't think they're going to be that quick, but I do hope to get them out quicker. That's for sure.
How important is that backdrop when you're writing? I mean, you both have mentioned. I mean, we're thinking about. I loved when Bill and I were talking before about the Mississippi Delta and where he grew up, and I spent a lot of time. I mean, that as a backdrop is a place that is rich, to say the least,
with characters and scenery and everything else.
Barlow Bend the same way. How important is that? Could you have written that without that backdrop? Those two books, couldn't have written without that backdrop.
I don't think so.
Put you on a blank stage. You got to develop those characters, right? Because you're talking about how character driven. Couldn't develop them without the backdrop.
The novel that I'm shopping around right now is, I think, 14 different women interconnected in this made up town of Hewitt Point. And Hewitt Point is absolutely based on South Mobile County.
Okay.
And it's because that is where I grew up. I grew up on Bell Fountain. I am a proud Bay Rat. It affects everything I write. Now I find if the setting is not Southern, if it doesn't have those, you know, humid pine trees just towering over you and you feel that you're walking through mashed potatoes, I don't feel a story. And so it doesn't matter for me. It really doesn't matter who the character is. I have to find, and all my lead characters are women, so I have to find where she lives first. And then the decisions she makes often come out of the circumstances of what surrounds her, so to speak.
So it is, so it's vitally important to the character.
It's very important.
All right, before we wrap up, one last question for y'all, somebody listening who has either tried their hand a little bit at writing or wants to get into it. Is there, and this is close to dancing with cliches here, but what you would tell them, if they walked up to you, right, they walked up to you out in your front yard, they're your neighbor, and said, okay, I know you're a writer and I've been thinking about it. What do I need to go back in that house and do right now? I'm stuck.
So stop thinking about it. Sit down and start writing.
But you know, and they'll say, That's easier said than done, Riles.
You know, it is. But, you know, once you, if you really enjoy it, and once you start and your story starts coming together, you'll sit down and do it.
There you go.
And I do one of two things. I am a trained actor, and so I will pick up my copy of Uta Hagen, who is a acting guru. She has 9 questions for the actor. I go through those 9 questions and develop a character based on those answers. Or I do a wheel diagram where I put the character in the center, and everything I can think about that character, what could possibly happen to that character, becomes a spoke. And by the end of it, you know, there's 40 spokes, and I have to decide, okay, there's a story here. Now I just have to start writing.
All right, and a reminder, whether you get published or you self-publish, there's still plenty of room for content out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably, because I think people say, the story I have to tell, the thing I want to express, probably nobody, I don't know anybody that is interested in that. But the beauty of being interconnected on the web, there's somebody who, there's many somebodies who gets it.
Yeah. The main thing I would say is, you know, when you're writing your book, write the best novel you can possibly write. Hire an editor or search for an editor through an agent, but get that editor, get the editor's feedback, and then while you're working on all that, you also have to work on developing your own public, your own following, your online profile, because marketing, whether you are an A-list author or a self-published author, marketing nowadays is going to be on your shoulders. And so you've got to get out there and start promoting yourself.
That really is the hard part, too.
Okay,
really,
that's one of the things that will be addressed, right?
Yes.
Okay, once again, let's ask for the order. People want to come out. When is it?
March 16th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Ben May Main Library. All the workshops are free. First come, first served seating.
All right, very good. And once again, I'm still getting more questions on that, but the Facebook page, we'll link it through on ours, and y'all can go through there, because people, I don't want them writing all these things down, just thinking about them, and then when they get stopped somewhere,
yes,
they can go read more on it. Thank you for coming in, Jody.
Thank you so much for having us.
And best of luck at the event, and hopefully we can sneak out there. Especially, I'd like to go, you know, when y'all get over to the bar. That would be...
Absolutely. I'll be there at 4:15.
Good. Okay, see y'all there. All right. Coming right back, we'll wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll talk to you coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5. And wrapping it up here on a Thursday, Paul Feinbaum show on the way in just a couple minutes. And if you want, people were asking questions about that. Once again, we'll put the link to the Mobile Literary Festival Facebook page up on ours. And people were talking about the book. Oh, okay. The book, yes. So Jody's book. That's Jody Smith. The book, and it got my attention too when I saw Barlow Bend. The Woods at Barlow Bend, the name of the book. And you can pick it up online or at local bookstores. And you probably just Google Jody Kane Smith and The Woods at Barlow Bend and find somewhere local to buy that book. And a lot of people don't know, my buddy Bill Riles from News 5 was also an author, and a heck of a good author. So look for Bill's books. You can go to his Facebook page and get them through there as well. Love to talk to those folks. A lot of fun, a lot of thoughts. Yeah, a lot of thoughts in their heads, and they actually put them down on paper, which is pretty awesome. All right, before we wrap it up today, anything, Dalton, anything changed? Did Kim Jong-un come running back and say, oh, I forgot I did want to work a deal? No? They're still beating him up for, I think, although, you know what? No. Give. I heard this, I know we were maybe at the top of the hour news, Chuck Schumer. Did you hear that, Chuck Schumer? Complimenting President Trump. We get, if that audio is somewhere, I need to capture that audio because it doesn't happen very often. But good for Chuck Schumer saying what we said this morning on the morning show, that sometimes in negotiation you don't make a deal. Something that I got frustrated by so many times by past presidents, and most recently by former President Obama, that, oh, you're always going to make a deal. Always make a deal so you can get, like Dalton said this morning, the headlines and the notoriety. Sometimes a deal's not there to make, and you got to say, "Eh, I can't do it." Okay, yeah, you're We'll come back here next year. Try this again next year. You know, we'll try to make a deal then. But right now, yeah, sometimes you just can't make a deal. So I heard that. If I remember correctly, it was Chuck Schumer saying that President Trump had made a good decision. Let's go ahead and get that written down and maybe put on a plaque or something and sent to the president. All right. I was going to use this on the morning show, but it's better because we're closer to bedtime here at midday. A Daily Mail story came out. These are four tips, and maybe one of them, okay, maybe two of them may be new news to you, but these are four tips to get a better night's sleep tonight. So often these lists are completely full of things you already know, and I think two of them will be, but I'm going to line out because there's two of them here that I think may be new information. So if you have a hard time getting to sleep, getting a good night's sleep, number one on their list, they say get more exercise. Work out in the evening, work out any time of the day. If you do 30 minutes of high-intensity exercise a few hours before bed, you're able to fall asleep just fine. Okay, ding, duh, we know that one. Number two, get some sunlight in the morning. Helps with your internal clock. So you'll get back to associating sunlight with waking hours and darkness with sleep. Okay, that probably makes sense. This one I did not know. Get more magnesium. Did you know that? It says either in pill form or from eating things like broccoli, spinach, kale, nuts, and seeds. Magnesium has calming properties that help you to sleep. Can somebody check the label there on some NyQuil? Is NyQuil chock full? Is it chock full of magnesium? And this one, and this is fantastic for those of us that may be hot natured out there. And we may have if you have a spouse that's not hot natured, you may want to use this and say, it's not just that I want it cooler, but we need it to be able to go to sleep. According to this latest study, turning down the thermostat helps you sleep better. Of course. Which I do like the fact that we all turn down the thermostat and then go get under heavy blankets, which doesn't make a ton of sense. The study shows that the best window for sleep temperatures in this latest research, between 60 and 68 degrees. That is the sweet spot, they say, for producing melatonin, the stuff that people take in the tablets. I guess your body produces more of it when it's between 60 and 68. So there you go. Any of us that are trying to negotiate some temperature in the house, 60 to 68, it's for your sleep. All right, there you go. So two of them I thought were of interest. All right, heading on out to Paul Feinbaum's show on the way next. Hey, I want to say a couple things here. First of all, thank you to Bill and Jody. Big thank you to Mayor Stimson for coming on with us today. And a big thank you again to y'all that stocked the float for the Families of the Fallen float that rolls at the head of the floral parade on Saturday. I hope you'll be there. I'll be there and cheering those folks on as well. 27 family members of law enforcement officers died in the line of duty. They're on this float. Y'all have stocked the float full of throws, so that's fantastic, and let's be there also to cheer them. There will be flag ceremonies going on with officers marching in front of the float. So when they do that flag ceremony, remember to stop yelling for beads and all that, and be respectful on those flag ceremonies. And then the rest of the time, let's holler like a bunch of fools and get some beads and throws from these families. So make them have a great time. But y'all did a great, great job in the donations, and I'm so very happy. Rest of the year, familyofthefallen.org. They're still helping out local families here that have lost a loved one in law enforcement in the line of duty. familyofthefallen.org, their website, if you want to contribute. So a big thank you for all the people that helped with that. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow and on into the weekend. Be back at 6 tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings. Remember, we will be doing, we got hoops on, oh yeah, we got, we oh yeah, we have hoops on Fat Tuesday too. We have hoops, more Auburn hoops coming up on Saturday and on Fat Tuesday, and we get ever closer to the SEC tournament and March Madness. All those games for Auburn basketball right here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, 1:58. I will say bye. Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. See you in the morning, bright and early for Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.